10 minutes after 4. I walked into the intensive care ward at Dyer Mercy Hospital, and for the second time in the last month, I've had to tell someone that someone very dear to them had been killed. In this case, it was a young lady, one of our own young ladies here at First Baptist, who was engaged to a young man, and they had been one day looking at wedding rings, engagement rings, and that very afternoon they were involved in a serious car accident. She was almost killed, and he was killed almost instantaneously. For 9 or 10 days, she had lived much of that time on the brink of death, internally bleeding in her lungs and chest, with a hole in her neck here and a tube through that, allowing her to breathe, keeping her from choking to death. The doctor felt we could not tell her that her fiancé was dead because it would endanger her life. Finally, on Friday, they felt that she was in a shape where she could be told. Her mother called me and said, "Pastor, I feel you're the only one that can tell her. I feel she'll need what you have to offer when she's told." And so I walked beside her bed. She'd been writing notes to her fiancé she thought was alive. He'd had a birthday while she was in the hospital, and she'd sent him a birthday card, thinking all the time he was alive. She still had the hole here, about up here, in her chest, and she had to hold a rag or something over it because that's the only way she could talk. If she took the rag away, the air would not get to her voice box and it would whistle out her chest. And there she was holding it, and I walked in and she was glad to see me and she smiled. And I smiled but didn't mean it. And I said, "How you doing, Marilyn?" And she said, "Better." And I said, "Marilyn, I want to talk to you for a while." And she got a serious look on her face, as a person watching a truck coming toward his own car, knowing it was coming, or watching a tornado that had to come his direction but was not yet arrived. And I said, "Marilyn, Bill was hurt pretty bad in the wreck." She said, "Is Bill dead?" And I said, "Bill's in heaven." And that wheeze that came from this open spot as she began to weep. And I tried to comfort her, and some girlfriends did, and her mother and father came in later. And I walked in the next room, and little Sharon Stromberg was there, who's been unconscious now for a week and a half in a coma. And I talked to her for a while and told her that I loved her, and I was glad to be her preacher. She was alone. Of course, in intensive care, they have to be alone. And I felt so cruel walking away. I felt like somebody ought to be there. Of course, nobody could be there because they won't let you in, except on regular intervals. But I felt so cruel. And as I walked away, I thought, now there's that little girl. One of them in this room just found out that a fiancé is dead. And in the next room, nothing but a window separating the two rooms, is another one of our little girls. Been in a coma 2 weeks, a week and a half. And I don't know why, but my thoughts went to the 83rd Psalm. And that those three little words, the last three words, the third verse, "Thy hidden ones, thy hidden ones." And as I walked away and left those two little girls there, each to her own suffering, I thought of the verse where God says, we're His hidden ones. If you want a wonderful Bible study sometime, take your Bible. Look up the times that God speaks about His people being hidden. In Psalm 17, verse 8, it says, keep me as the apple of thy eye. It doesn't mean looking at an apple. It means the pupil. Just like the eyelid guards the pupil. And if something were to come to my eye right now, my eyelid would rush to hide the pupil. Our Lord likens Himself to the eyelid. He likens His people to the pupil. You know, one of the hardest things in the world to do is keep your eye open. The doctor says, hold your eye open there. You can't do it. No way in the world. Hold it open. Just like he sticks a stick down your throat and says, don't gag. I'd like to have a stick at a doctor's throat sometime and show him how it feels. But don't gag. Don't gag. And so the Lord says, my people, I hide them and protect them. Just like that eyelid. Listen. The minute, like that. Just something goes on. That eyelid jumps to its rescue. And our Heavenly Father says, that's exactly the way I do. When my people need me, I jump to the rescue as quickly as an eyelid can shut, on the spot, to protect my people. And in Psalm 17, verse 8, the last part, it says, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. And in Psalm 27, verse 5, in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. And he goes on to say in the last part of that verse, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. And in Psalm 31, verse 20, he says, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion. And in Psalm 91, and verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Or Colossians 3:3, your life is hid with Christ in God. And I was saying last night, our Lord so loves His people that He even took His little nation Israel and hid them from all the nations of the world. Look at Israel. On the north side, she's hidden by mountains. On the west side, she's hidden by the Mediterranean Sea. On the south side and on the east side, she's hidden by the Arabian Desert. And our Lord said, I want my little nation Israel hidden by deserts on the south and on the east, and by a sea on the west, by the mountains on the north. I want my people to picture the way I hide all of my people. And God says He hides us in His pavilion. Through the years, God has hidden His people in glens and wildernesses, mountains and catacombs, and our Lord even chooses here in this particular passage to call us His hidden ones. Over in the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 10, He chooses to call us His jewels. Like a person would hide his jewels. You take your jewels and you hide them somewhere, maybe in a safe deposit box, or maybe in some kind of little safe at home, or maybe in some other secluded spot under the bed. Our Lord says He hides us like He hides His own, like His own jewels. He says, in that day when I make up my jewels, our Lord hides us. And so those little girls this morning up there in the hospital alone, no, in a real sense, they're hidden with God there, and God has hidden them. Several months ago, Dave Hiles, Dave's getting married in January. He went down to the jewelry store down here on Holman Avenue, and he picked out a beautiful, beautiful ring for his fiancée. And he'd been paying on that ring now, making payments on it for weeks and months. And last night, while a guard, we were paying to take care of the Civic Center, was sound asleep in one of the buses. Some criminal burglars came in, broke in, and found that beautiful wedding band and took it for themselves. And I thought this morning, when Dave called me and told me about it this morning, of course his heart was heavy about it, And there'll be another one, but I thought this morning, I'm so glad God never loses one of his jewels. I'm so glad that God's put me in a hiding place where the devil can never get me. And I'm so glad this morning that when God takes his jewels, he didn't have to make payments on it. One great payment on the cross. And when God made up his jewels, he said, I'll hide them. And thank God, today my soul is hidden from the evil one. And God calls us his hidden ones. Asaph wrote this psalm. He stands before his people with 10 nations joining to fight against God's people. The Edomites and the Ishmaelites and the Hagarenes and the Ammonites and the Philistines and 5 other nations all join in a united attack against God's people. And Asaph stands up before all the people of God. The nation is for fightful, and 10 nations coming from the south come the Moabites, and from the east come the Ammonites, and from the north come the Philistines, and from all around them come 10 different enemies marching against little old Israel. And little Asaph stands up to people whose hearts are faint and says, don't worry, dear folks, we're God's hidden ones. And that's what we are. We're God's hidden ones, and God calls us his treasure. I think this morning that God hides us so often because he wants to be with us alone. You know, I said to Sharon the other day, Sharon, I love you. And she couldn't answer back. And I said, Sharon, this is Brother Hiles. I love you very much. And I'm glad you're one of my kids. And she couldn't answer back. And I thought, I wish she could talk to me. And I wanted to say, Sharon, talk to me. Talk to me. I love you, Sharon. Talk to me. I wonder if the Lord doesn't say that sometimes. I wonder if the Lord doesn't look down to you and say, I love you, and you don't spend any time with him. And the Lord says, I love you, and you don't even spend 10 minutes a day. There are folks in this room this morning who claim to be God's children. Have not spent 15 minutes all week in this book. Hypocrite. Backslider. Imposter. Claim to be a good Christian. Claim to be a fundamentalist. And never, never spend time in this blessed book. And the Lord looks down and he says, talk to me. Talk. Sit up, young lady, on the front. Sit up here. Hey, young lady, sit up here. Pull her up there. Good night. You're not at a slumber party. Look at me. I don't know whose daughter you are, but if you're mine, I'd take care of you when I got home. Brother Hiles, you shouldn't talk to you. You do what you think you ought to do and keep your nose out of what I ought to do. Amen. Very idea of coming to church and acting like you're at a slumber party somewhere. Only thing I detest more than that, you folks that are mad at me right now about it. But he said, I don't like what you're saying. I don't care. Amen. I'm simply saying it's time God's people read the Bible like God's people. The idea, sitting home and watching these little 2-bit serials in the afternoon, you'd be spending time in this blessed book. You ladies sitting home watching that garbage and three-cornered romances and pagan sexual kind of worldliness when the word of the Bible is sitting right over there on your desk or somewhere in your house. Get the Bible and read it. God wants to talk to you, and God wants you to listen to him for a while. Up here in St. Margaret's Hospital, one of our men, Brother Fist, told me this story. One of our good men had a stroke and soon was taken on to heaven. And his son, who'd been living away from God, a nice fellow, and a fellow whom I love very much, but living away from God, went up to the hospital, and there was his dad. Was he dead, Brother Fist, when he was already dead? And his son went in, and he said, Daddy, speak to me. I love you, Daddy. Speak to me. And his cold lips in death were still, and his eyes were staring as in death. And the young boy put his arms around his daddy and hugged him and said, Daddy, speak to me! Speak to me! And of course the daddy didn't speak, and the boy got down and took his daddy's lifeless arms, and he got between the arms and put his arms around him, and he said, Daddy, hug me! Daddy, hug me! Daddy, hug me, Daddy! Hug me! Hug me! And that's what our Heavenly Father does to many of us. He wants us to spend time with him, and he wants us to love him, and he wants us to tell him, and he wants us to hug him. and the Father comes to you. But you're dead and backslidden and away from God, and never spend 5 minutes a day in prayer with God, and never spend 5 minutes alone with God, and never spend 5 minutes a day in this blessed book. And the Father says, I love you. And you lay there like a dead man does. And God says, tell me you love me. God wants to hear it. You know, I think one of the great things we miss in the Christian life and leave out of the Christian life is our sweet adoration and love and devotion to God. God wants us to tell Him we love Him and tell Him we love to be near Him. I know I love for my children to tell me. One of the girls said last week, I missed you while you were gone. Well, I'm gone all the time, so she misses me all the time. But I missed you while you were gone, and that didn't hurt me a bit. Not a bit in the world didn't hurt me. God hungers to hear you tell Him you love Him. And the Lord says, okay, I'll take some of my people, and I'll put them in a hospital room, or I'll put them, their loved ones there maybe. And I want to spend some time. And many times that's what God does. And you know, some of the most precious people to God are those who are the hidden ones. I think this morning of those dear shut-ins of ours who couldn't be in church. Oh, they'd love to be here this morning and enjoy the service and the beautiful music and the fellowship and shake hands. But they'll never see this auditorium again. And they'll never walk back inside this room again. They're hidden ones. But one of these days, the Lord's going to take them as He takes, you take jewels and put those jewels in a bouquet and make a ring out of it. God's going to take His hidden ones and put them all together as beautiful jewels and make a great bouquet for His own dear Son. He's going to take many people in this room for that bouquet. One of these, the hidden ones. I was thinking last night of the hidden ones. I was thinking of Mrs. Bartels. God bless her. Where is she? She's down here. She is on the front. Mrs. Bartels, little rascal, she's not well, and I'm afraid she's going to have a heart attack. I think she wants to have one go on to heaven, but she won't take care of herself. I think she's afraid she takes care of herself, she'll live longer. But God bless her. I've seen her time and time again, ice on the streets and below zero, maybe in a big snowstorm. I've seen her walking up and down these streets with a Bible in her hand, stopping and witnessing to people and telling them about Jesus. She's been in our church now for several years. You know what she does? She works. What does she work? What's her salary? No salary at all. She said, if you'll just let me have something to eat and give me a private prayer room. She said, place where I can pray, and that's all I want. And she goes to a home and waits on an invalid, maybe, or takes care of some little boys and girls, or sits beside the bed of someone who's near death and serves them and stays there. Oh, listen, when God makes up His jewels, I don't think He's going to put a John Rice or a Jack Hiles, and forgive me if I put my name in with these fellows, a Lee Robertson or Jerry Falwell. I think God's going to find the hidden ones and make up His jewels with the hidden ones. Mrs. Bartels, every month she brings me a little envelope, and she puts it under my door. If I told you where she puts it, you're going to have to try to find it, some of you folks that will rob God. She has an envelope. In that envelope, usually, is around $60 every month. She gets a pension. I don't know if she's had a new dress since I've been here. I'm sort of tired looking at the old one. I guess I'll buy her another one. But I don't know if she had a new dress or not. And on the outside, it says, for needy college students. For needy college students. And many young college students have stayed in school because dear little Mrs. Bartel, one of God's hidden ones, sacrifices and gives. When I heard God's hidden ones, I was looking this morning, and one of the most treasured gifts I own, I guess it's a paddle, I'm not sure what it is, but Mrs. Erickson, sitting back here in the aisle, made it for me. She's unable now to talk. You know, that's a great blessing for Mr. Erickson, I'm sure, and but she's unable now to talk. And she's in a wheelchair, confined to a wheelchair. And Mr. Erickson said, she's getting where she move around a little bit. I said, can she walk? Oh, no. Said she crawled around the house. Can you imagine a housewife crawling around the house, her own house, and can't walk? And so she made me a little something and gave it to me, a little paddle of some kind. I'm sure, I hope she's not mad because I called it a paddle. I don't know what it was, but I love it and treasure it. And Mrs. Erickson, you're one of God's little hidden ones. He knows where you are. and you're very dear to God. I'm too busy. I mean, I try to spend some time with God, but God never knows where I am. He said, "Where's old Jack?" I guess the Lord's theme song about me is, "Where's my wandering boy tonight?" But here's where I am. I was in, last Monday and Tuesday. I don't know, where did I go last Monday? Huh? Your name, Irma? Unless your phone rings, don't pick up the receiver. I was in Louisville last Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday, back to a very urgent meeting with a bunch of preachers about the future of our country. And then Thursday, I flew down to Nashville, Tennessee, and met with some of the leading pastors and theologians in all the world about some very urgent things about America and the future of our country. And then back Friday, and then tomorrow, I'll be going to, I forget where I'm going to go tomorrow, somewhere, and come back Wednesday morning. And then Thursday morning, I fly to speak for Dr. John Rice's birthday party Thursday night in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And then during the night, I've got to fly all night because I've got to be up in Minnesota, way up in the northern part of Minnesota Friday night to speak. And by the way, if you ever prayed for me in your life, you prayed for me this week. I mean, if you ever prayed, if you ever carried a burden about our college and our finances, please, this week, all week, some of the most important things this church will ever know will take place this week. And but the Lord doesn't know where I am. But the Lord can always find you, Ms. Erickson. He knows where you are. She's one of His hidden ones. And one of these days, the Lord's going to say, "I'm going to make a beautiful, beautiful bouquet of gems for my son." And I'll say, "Lord, how about me? I have the largest Sunday school in the world." He'll say, "I never could find you, son. But I know where Ms. Erickson is. She's one of my little hidden ones." He's going to go back and he's going to take that little diamond, that little jewel, and put it in his bouquet for his son. I was thinking about all the little hidden ones. Mr. Erickson, God bless him, has had to quit his job. He's not working now, staying home with his wife and cooking and keeping house. Oh, I'd rather go to purgatory. But cooking and washing dishes and cleaning house and so forth. Who are these hidden ones? Some of those I have in my pocket. I think I do this morning. I don't know whether I do or not. I meant to bring it. I have a little diamond ring. A little lady walked up to me and she was crying and she said, "I don't have anything to give to the college fund, but I want to give something and I want to do something and I feel so helpless." She said, "This is all of God." She said, "My grandmother gave me this to my mother and my mother gave it to me. And I want you to take it and sell it, that treasured, treasured possession of three generations. I want you to take it and sell it." The Lord knows where His hidden ones are. I have this morning in my pocket. No, I have this. I have a piece of candy. I won't eat it after a while. It's got to be health food candy. If it's not, I'll say, "Lord, bless this sinful stuff as it goes down." But a piece of candy. And that piece of candy was stuck under my door but to a little sweet hand this morning. And somebody thought, "I bet the preacher would like to have that." And somebody thought to love the preacher. And the Lord, I don't know who it was. The Lord knows who it was. I probably got some poison in it. Probably one of the deacons. But I'm saying, the Lord knows who it was. His hidden ones. I was thinking, last night I was standing up here on the platform looking out over the audience at a wedding. And a little small gathering here, I guess maybe 150, 200 people. Looked over here, and I saw Mrs. Velma Anderson. And you'll forgive me for saying this and about her, but I got thinking all the good that dear woman does for people that nobody ever knows. Oh, listen, I'm not looking this morning to a great crowd of people. I'm not looking this morning at the world's largest Sunday school. I'm looking this morning at some of the sweetest jewels God ever made. And hidden one? Yes, I know, hidden ones. I was thinking about Mrs. Clifton through the years, who's taken care of so many children and helped in so many hundreds of ways. Obscure place. I was thinking about little Pam Stooksbury, one of my favorite young ladies. Pam got out of high school. And it's time for her to go to college. So first year our college opened over here at our high school opened, and Pam didn't go to college. She got a job so she could pay her young sisters way to Hammond Baptist High School. and she forewent, she has foregone, she foregoed. She didn't have her own college education. Why? Because she wanted a little sister to go to a Christian high school, and the family at that time couldn't afford it, it seemed. And little Pam got a job and didn't go to the college she wanted to go to, hidden one. But God knows, God knows. I think of that host of bus workers of yesterday when it was cold and windy over in Chicago, and that wind blowing across Lake Michigan. I think of our host of bus workers who are out knocking on doors. I think of all those college students having a tough time making ends meet and wearing hand-me-down clothes and work all night. Some of those boys work all night long and have sleep an hour or two a day. All they get's an hour or two of sleep. What do they do with their money? Huh? Many of them paying the tuition for students in Hammond Baptist Grade School, Hammond Baptist High School. Oh, just hidden ones. But the Lord says He knows His hidden ones. He knows that little lady. And all she does is pray for the preacher. I say this often. I love to fly over this area. When I fly east or southeast, usually I fly over this area. I look down and spot the area. You know that apart from St. Margaret's Hospital, this building is the biggest looking building from the air in all of Hammond. Here it is. And as soon as we get, either we can build this building bigger or burn part of St. Margaret's Hospital, we're going to be the big. Now, don't, Lord, don't let it burn us soon. I'll get the blame for it. But, and I look now. But I do what I love to do most. I love to look at houses of people that I know never get out of the house. And look up from way up there, 30,000 feet maybe in the air, and look down and see how big the world is and how big this Chicago area is, and yet how little it looks from the air. And there's one little box down there. Did you know I can't even see our house in the air because it's covered by a few trees? I can't see it from the air. And I look at some of the shut-ins' houses, and I stop and realize that's their whole world. Now, I don't know what you're doing, but God knows what you're doing, His hidden ones. I'm so thankful this morning that I'm hid with Christ in God. And I'm so thankful this morning that the least little saint here, I mean the most insignificant one, that little one that says nobody knows where I am. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know, this may seem funny to you, but every once in a while, in my travels, the thought will hit me, nobody in the world knows where I am right now. You fellas ever think about that? Nobody in the world knows where I am right now. Nobody. Nobody. There's not one living person. I may be bouncing across the sky at night, flying somewhere through the night, or I may have just checked into a motel room, and I'll say, nobody in the world knows where I am right now. Oh, yes. There's someone knows where I am. He knows where you are. He feels every pain you feel. He sees every tear that drops from your saddened cheek. He knows little Sharon, where she is right now. And he knows little Marilyn, where she is right now. They're His hidden ones. And I think of others. I think of so many others in our church, God's hidden ones. I was thinking last night of all the people that have come by my office lately. One lady said, here's a stamp collection my father had. And I've had it. A treasured stamp. Stamps from all over the world. Hundreds and hundreds of them. She said, I want God to have it for the college fund. People have brought me coin collections by. Said, I want God to have it. I want you to sell it for the college fund. There's a clock in my office right now. It's a, I was a grandfather's or grandmother's or Uncle George's or whose it is. But it's about that tall and one of these things that dongs, you know. And it's my office, and I'll be selling it to somebody and using it for the college fund. I thought, Brother Wardway, it this morning is probably, right now, I mean probably, to me, it'll take a bigger miracle right now that I've ever thought it's going to take for us to have the $2.5 million. But I was thinking last night, as I was thanking God for the hidden ones, Oh, that great host of people in this church who don't get to fly to a preacher's meeting. That great host of people in this church who don't get to have your name on the sign or on the letterhead. The great host of people who never write a book or never lead a choir or never cry across the country and preach a sermon. I thought about you last Monday night when I stood to speak in Louisville. I told the people I did. But I thought last night about you. But Lord, wait. If we don't get the $2.5 million, this has still been good for us. Still been good for us. A lot of folks have learned how to give. A lot of people have learned how to strip themselves of self and forget their own needs and forget their own pains and forget their own burdens and live for somebody else for a while. I don't know any greater joy than that. A lot of our folks have learned an awful lot. I'm not saying we won't get the money. I think we'll get it. I'm saying right now, the Red Sea to me looks wider than it's ever looked. But I think it's going to part before January the 1st. I mean, I'm confident it is. But it's getting wider to me. But if perchance, God in His wisdom does not want us to have the $2.5 million. Blessed be God, a lot of our people have grown up. The boys and girls have found out it's bigger, it's more fun to give away the piggy bank than to keep it. One little fella, give me his piggy bank. Big fat pig looked like John Penley. big fat pig. I love John Penley. He's a big fat cow. I wouldn't want him to be pork at all. But a little kid brought his piggy bank. And every time he sees me, he says, "Remember me?" And I said, "Well, son, I don't remember your name." He put his hands on his hips and said, "Have you forgotten me already?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I'm the one that gave you the piggy bank." He said it was full all the way up to the nose. But kids have learned that. Forgive me, but I think I've learned it. And I think a lot of our folks have learned it. Folks, listen to me now, and I'm going to be through. It doesn't matter a great deal in life whether we feel good or feel bad as far as our joy is concerned. It doesn't matter a great deal in life whether we have a lot of money or no money. I've never felt good about a dime I've kept. I've never felt bad about a dime I've given. I never have. We've got folks in this church this morning. It'll never come out until the judgment seat. But I guess I just want to say this morning to you on this December 7, 1975, 34 years after that morning when I was a teenage boy, was coming home from church, and they came down the street hollering, "Extra! Extra! We don't want it! Extra! Extra! We don't want it!" We didn't have television then to spread the news. There's a news, there'd be an extra come out in this paper, newsboys that sell them. "Japanese attack Pearl Harbor. Japanese attack." Wasn't it December 7, 1941? And America was plunged into World War II. I'd like to tell you on the anniversary of that, that a lot of people this morning in this room, God, I don't know who you are even maybe. And there are many of you that I know who you are. Nobody else knows who you are. Who have given your last blood in the last few months. One man gave us $50,000, not in our church. One man gave us $50,000. I'm excited about that. I wish I had about 100 men do the same thing. But now, wait a minute. Do you know when I get my thrill? 50,000? That's a big thrill. But my biggest thrill comes when one of the hidden ones comes by the office with the same dress on she's worn for months and hands me a little envelope. Maybe with $3 $20 bills in it and a few pennies and nickels and dimes. And on the outside it says, for needy college students. I'd 10,000 times rather build a people like that than to build a college like we have out yonder. Years ago I got on my knees as a kid preacher. And I said, Lord, the motto for my ministry is going to be this. I will not use my people to build my work, but I'll use my work to build my people. And when and if we get the 2.5 million, I've been trying to think what I'm going to do. You know what? You mark it down, brother. We get that $2.5 million. We're going to find out whether tongues is scripture or not. I mean, you're going to find it out. If there is a gift of tongues, you're looking at the guy's going to have it. You really are. But I'd rather have youth in a building. I was thinking, as I saw Paula waiting to come in a while ago. Her ring is gone, but the love that bought it cannot be destroyed. Heaven and earth may pass away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Blessed be God. Even though he may be tucked away in a corner, or a 17-year-old girl that we hope will speak to us someday again. We're his hidden one. Let us pray. Father, I hate to think you love us because of our loveliness, because we have none. I hate to think you love us because of our lovableness, because I don't have any of that either. I'm glad you love us because you're love. You don't love us because of our greatness, but because of thy great heart. And thank you, dear Lord, that the smallest saint is one of your hidden ones. Encourage our hearts today. Bless my people. Dear Lord, I hope my folks will not think I'm more concerned about a college building than I am building their lives and their souls. And I thank you this morning for every gift, but more than that, for the growth of every giver. And I pray this morning that you'd help those who are hidden ones to realize their importance to you and to me. And those this morning, Father, that are not thine own, who know nothing about this pavilion, who know nothing about this sweetness, who know nothing about this wonderful relationship, who know nothing about this God who covers us like our eyelids cover our pupils. I pray they shall come to that God this morning, even thyself, through thy Son. Our heads are bowed in prayer and our eyes are closed. Ah, listen to me, folks. Listen to me. We found what you need. We found what you're looking for. You may not even know you need it. That hungry place in your heart. That empty feeling you have. That lonely feeling you got. I was thinking this morning. It just seemed like that every day there's a new attack from the devil on this church. Picked up the phone and Dave said, Dad, They've got the youth center and took everything almost. 3 electric typewriters. 8-track. Practically everything. When I hung up the phone, I said to myself, I don't know how unsaved people take it. Thank God there's a Jesus. Thank God there's a Holy Spirit. Thank God there's a Bible. Thank God I'm one of His hidden ones. Oh, yes, I'm one of His own. A child He'll never disown. Wouldn't you like to be one of His hidden ones? Wouldn't you like to be one of His hidden ones? I wonder, with heads bowed, I wonder how many this morning would say, Brother Hiles, I'm here in this service, but I do not know that I'm one of His own. I do not know that I'm born again. I do not know that if I died today, I would go to heaven. But I think it'd be mighty nice to go to heaven. I'd like to go to heaven. Brother Hiles, pray for me. I'd like to be a Christian. I do not know that I'm ready to die, but I wish I did. Pray for me. On the main floor, I wonder how many would lift your hands, please, on the lower floor, and say, pray for me when you pray. I want to be saved and know it. Would you lift your hand, please, on the main floor? God bless you. God love you. Who else on the lower floor? God bless you, sir. God loves you this morning. Who else on the lower floor? You'd raise your hand. Say, include me. Yes, God bless you. God bless you, son. God bless you. Who else? You can put your hand down now. Who else on the main floor? You'd say, pray for me. I do not know that I'm saved. God bless you and you. Yes, God bless you, lady. Who else on the lower floor would say, include me when you pray? I do not know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. Lift your hand, would you please? May I see it? May I see it? Let's go to the balcony. How many folks upstairs would say, Brother Hiles, pray for me? I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I wish I did. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? You'd like to be one of His own. God bless you way back there. Ah, listen, little fella, way back in the corner. You're typical of what I'm talking about this morning. You're a long ways from me, but God knows you're there and He loves you. Who else would say, pray for me? God bless you, lady, and God bless you up there, young lady. I see you. Who else in the balcony? You don't know that you're saved. You don't know that you're one of His own. God bless you on the back row, and God bless you, sir. I see that hand. Who else upstairs would say, include me in the prayer? I don't know that I'm God's child, but I wish I did. I don't know that I'm God's child, but I wish I did. Father, I pray for these today, every one of them, that they'll say yes to Christ and come to Him, come to Thee through Him, Thou who canst make each of them one of Your hidden ones. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Do you ever think about this? You know, in Jesus Christ is the only place where you're always wanted. Huh? Go to Hollywood. Become a movie star. Get wrinkles on your face and you're no longer wanted. Go to Hollywood. Become a Western star. You get old. Lose your health and your hair. Nobody wants you. Work hard and become a professional baseball player. But get ready for the time when you get released. Nobody wants you. Become a Johnny Unitas, best quarterback that ever played football. But later on, you'll see him on the sideline in the game. Nobody wants him. Nobody wants him. Joe Namath is riding mighty high, or has been. He's had a bad year this year. Look out, Joe. Nobody's going to want you for long. Look at old Joe Louis, greatest boxing champion I think that ever lived. Ended up out in a mental institution in Denver, Colorado. Nobody wanted him. Nellie Fox, American League most valuable player a few years ago. Second baseman for the Chicago White Sox for 13 years. Died of cancer up in a town where I preached not long ago. Oh, one of his friends said, I'll play. I was going to go see him, but just didn't know he was that sick. Nobody wants him. Nobody wants him. Joe Black, best, one of the best baseball relief pitchers ever pitched. Nobody wanted him. He got a gun, shot himself through the head. Marilyn Monroe, Got the place nobody much wanted her. She ended it all. But blessed be God, when you come to Jesus Christ, you're always wanted. You're always wanted. I want you in a minute when the choir sings, if you want to come to Christ and find that life eternal and that life abundant, we have some folks that can show you how to go to heaven. They can show you how to find Christ. They can show you how to find the peace of God through Christ. I want you to leave your seat. You folks upstairs in the balcony, you're not hidden from God, but He'll hide you in Himself and with Himself. I want you to leave your seat and come to the nearest aisle or stairs and down to the front and down the aisle, and let us show you how you can go to heaven. And then you can leave singing, oh yes, I'm one of His own. The child He'll never disown. You can be one of His hidden ones today. Won't you come to Christ? I want you to leave your seat when we sing. Come to the nearest aisle and down the aisle to the front. And quickly, let's settle this thing for God. Shall we stand, please? The choir's going to sing. Won't you hurry toward the aisle now? In the balcony, way back in the corner. Up here, way back in this section. Two or three up here. In the back row up here, several hands went up. And over here on this side, and back over here. And over here on this side, just come from every place toward an aisle down to the front and say, yes, I'll come to Jesus today. Do it now as the choir sings. Come on.